So everyone enjoyed part one without exception. Thanks for that. No pressure for part two. If you didn't enjoy it, just keep it to yourself. Yeah, last week we continued this series on our church values, and this week is actually the last week that we're going to be talking about it. So we had these values. The first two were upwards towards God, and they were worship and prayer. Then we have the value of effective relationships between one another. Josh spoke about that for a couple of weeks. Then last week I talked about missional living as individuals. How do we live missional lives? And today we're going to talk about how we live as a church community in a way that is missional. So I just want to quickly recap last week, being as everyone enjoyed it so much, why not recap? And say, when Jesus ascended into heaven, he didn't tell his disciples, okay, you've heard everything that I've said. You've seen everything that I've done. Now just go and get on with it. His first command to them was to wait, to stay right where they were. And they were waiting for the power of the Holy Spirit, which would enable them to become really good witnesses and live missional lives. And Jesus doesn't leave us to get on with his mission by ourselves. He empowers us. And I asked the question, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit since you became a Christian? And we prayed last week for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then we asked the question, once the followers of Jesus had the Holy Spirit, what did they do next? And the answer was, they got on with their normal lives, but opened themselves up to opportunities. They allowed themselves to be interrupted. And when they were interrupted, they gave what they had. And then finally, we looked at Luke 10, where Jesus sent out a large number of disciples, and he said, find a house where there is a person of peace. In other words, when you go, look for the people where the Holy Spirit already seems to be working. People who are open to your message and not hostile. And I wonder this week, have you been thinking and have you been praying about that? Who are the people in my life who are these people of peace? These people who are already open to hearing the message of the gospel. When you find them, pray for them. Bless them. Be open for opportunities to reach out to them. I hope that that gave you something to think about and pray about this week. So as we begin to bring this series to a close, how do we live missional lives as a church? And the church began after this filling of the Holy Spirit, this mass filling of the Holy Spirit. The early church was birthed. And I want to read some verses from Acts 11 and from verse 19. And it talks about some of the things that were happening in the early church. And it says this, meanwhile, the believers who had been scattered during the persecution after Stephen's death traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch of Syria. They preached the word of God, but only to Jews. However, some of the believers who went to Antioch from Cyprus and Cyrene began preaching to the Gentiles about the Lord Jesus. The power of the Lord was with them, and a large number of these Gentiles believed and turned to the Lord. When the church at Jerusalem heard what had happened, they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw this evidence of God's blessing, he was filled with joy, and he encouraged the believers to stay true to the Lord. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and strong in faith, and many people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went on to Tarsus to look for Saul. When he found him, he brought him back to Antioch. Both of them stayed there with the church for a full year, teaching large crowds of people. It was at Antioch that believers were first called Christians. During this time, some prophets travelled from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up in one of the meetings and predicted by the Holy Spirit that a great famine was coming upon the entire Roman world. This was fulfilled during the reign of Claudius. So the believers in Antioch decided to send relief to the brothers and sisters in Judea, everyone giving as much as they could. This they did, entrusting their gifts to Barnabas and Saul to take to the elders of the church in Jerusalem. So let's have a think about the context of these verses. Jesus has gone into heaven. We read that last week. He promises the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes. The disciples are filled and they begin to witness. And after they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they started to share the message, the Bible said that it spread like wildfire and the disciples had the favour of the people on everything they did. Being a Christian was a popular choice just then. Then the Jewish leaders began to get very uneasy about this new sect, which they called the People of the Way, because it was becoming too popular in their opinion. So the persecution of the church begins, and one of the leaders, a man named Stephen, is martyred. And this persecution that comes means the people have to flee from their homes and the church is scattered. And that might have seemed like a bad thing, but the result of the scattering is that those early church members went about wherever they'd been scattered to, and they spread the good news of Jesus. And more people were being reached further out from Jerusalem. And what seemed to be a difficult situation actually works to spread the gospel even further. And the message moves so far that even non-Jews, the Gentiles, hear the message and accept Jesus. So, I think there's about six things that I've picked out of this passage that we read that show what this missional church was like. 6 points. Don't worry, they're not all very long. First of all, the church faced up to their reality. They faced the reality that they were living in and they got on with it. Persecution came and the church had to continue through it. We don't read any accounts of there being mass prayer meetings when they all got together and prayed, "Dear God, please will you remove this persecution so that we can all get back together again in Jerusalem, back into the temple, back into worship and back to normal." Instead, they prayed that despite the persecution, they'd have boldness to preach the gospel even more. They faced the reality, looked it in the face and continued the job in hand, even though things would have been really, really different and really, really difficult. And you know, if we want to be a missional church, we have to look the reality of our situation in the face and continue. There's no point trying to pretend that things are different or to live an if-only life. If only we hadn't got COVID. If only I hadn't been ill. I was a bit concerned there. They might have cut the mic because apparently COVID is a word they... Yeah. If only I hadn't been ill. If only God had put me in a different place. If only I had more money. If only I had more time. If only this. If only that. If only the other. And you know, a local pastor at a meeting I was at shared this illustration. So it's not my idea or illustration, but I thought it was good. So I've nicked it and I'm going to pass it on because it fits with what I'm saying. You know, when you go on holiday to a hotel, do you remember holidays? Yeah. And you go to a hotel and if you're like me, you turn up, you book in, you take your little suitcase up in the lift and you get into your room and there's a funny kind of thing that sort of opens like that and you plonk your suitcase on it. And then you open your suitcase and you take all your stuff out and you hang all your clothes in the wardrobe and you put your trousers on this trouser press thing that they have. And then you take all your toiletries into the bathroom and you open the drawers and no, you don't. Not if you're like me. No, you don't do that. You open your suitcase and you think, I'm only here for a few days. I'll just get everything out as I need it and I'll put it down and some of it will end up on the back of the chair and, you know, and trouser press, really? And why do they give you irons in a hotel room? Maybe it's just me, but I never use them. You can probably tell I don't use an iron all that often. But you know, we don't unpack, do we, properly? Well, I don't, in a hotel room. We don't, because we're only there temporary. It's all going to be back to normal soon. It's all going to have to go back in the suitcase, back to normal. So we leave it as it is. You know, back in March this year, we went into a period of lockdown to try and curb that epidemic. And we thought it would last a couple of weeks and it ended up lasting more like 9. Then we began to open up, we began to go out a bit, we began to eat out to help out, do you remember that? And we were promised a more normal life by Christmas, but that hasn't happened and instead we have this second wave coming. And we're realizing, aren't we, that this isn't going to be a temporary thing. This is something we're going to have to live with for quite a long time. But some of us have this kind of living out of a suitcase attitude to it. I'll just kind of put up with you until it gets back to normal. And what this pastor was sharing through this illustration is, I'm afraid we're going to have to unpack for a bit. Because this is where we are. This is facing up to the reality of where we are in our world, where we are as a church. Yes, it is like this, but we still have a mission. It's not where we'd like to be. This place, we'd like it to be different, but this is where we are. And if we want to be an missional church, we need to embrace the sharing of the gospel in the way that it has to be done now, given the reality that we are now living in. You know, last year, 12 months ago, thousands of churches across the UK had the potential to put their message out online to audiences of potentially thousands of people who would never normally ever come inside a church. Despite this amazing potential, most churches never did it. Why not? Maybe we were too comfortable in what we knew. We'd been doing it for years. We met at 10:30 or 11 o'clock or whatever. And maybe we'd invite someone occasionally. We never got into this amazing opportunity. And suddenly, because of this viral pandemic, churches across the length and breadth of the country are now online, as we are, sharing the gospel across the networks of the world. And you know, in the same way as the early church faced their reality and got on with the job, we need to do the same. And we had this week an Elim, we're an Elim church, and we had Elim conference one day this week just online. And a pastor shared a text that they'd received from one of their congregation early on back at the beginning of the pandemic. And this is what the text said. It said, "The season that we're in doesn't change the mission that we're on." And that is so true. We're in this season, but we need to unpack our case, settle down, face the reality and be a missional church despite the circumstances. The second thing from Acts 11, the gospel crossed cultural and ethnic boundaries. The early disciples probably just assumed the gospel was just for them, the Jews, not open to other people who weren't like them. Now suddenly they're scattered amongst all different nationalities, and guess what? The Holy Spirit is falling on these other people as well. The gospel of Jesus is available to everyone, no matter what their age, gender, ethnicity, background, etc. And if we want to be a missional church, we must accept people who are different to us. God created us all unique. We are all different to one another to one extent or another. He created a world of diversity. I like watching travel programs on the TV. So people like Simon Reeve and Michael Palin and Joanna Lumley, and you've seen them. I love it. And they've got a bit of a problem this year, haven't they? I don't know if you've noticed, because no one can go anywhere. So what they've done is they've got all the people out who've done it in the past, and they've kind of cobbled together old pictures of what they did. And there's been one, Michael Palin, and I watched this last night, and it was a rerun, effectively, of his trip around the Pacific Rim. Over 50,000 miles, starting right up in the north of Bering Straits, all the way down Philippines and Australia, that side, and all the way up the Americas. And it was amazing in that 1 hour, seeing the amazing diversity of the people that he met going all the way around the Pacific Rim. Such different cultures and different people. And you know, if we want to reach people, as a church, we have to, you know, we live in a multicultural society. We have to embrace people who might be different to how we are. Not always because of culture and different nationalities. Sometimes it can be a different age. You know, young people are very much more affected and impacted by social media today than we might be as we get older. Although sometimes I think some of the older people spend more time on it. But, you know, we have to embrace people of all sorts of different ages. And accept people for who they are and communicate to them in a language that they understand. You know, before the 1500s, the only Bibles that were available in England were written in Latin. And most people in England couldn't read, and even if they could, they didn't speak Latin. And yet this situation continued for hundreds of years. And Jesus tells his disciples to preach the good news. And the church in the Dark Ages made absolutely sure the good news was completely incomprehensible to most people. It's absolutely shocking. And you may think, well, we don't do that now. And thankfully, you're right. But do we make assumptions about what people understand? Do we use Christian words that people may not understand, that don't mean anything if you are outside of the church? Do we judge people who are not like us? Do we accept people who do not behave the way that we do? If we want to be a missional church, we need to accept people for who they are and communicate in a language they understand. The third thing, the people in the early church stayed true to the Lord. It said Barnabas was strong in faith. That's not easy in a time of persecution. Are we strong in faith? Are you strong in faith today? Do you truly believe what we preach? Do we truly believe what we preach? Is this time of COVID-19, do we really believe that Jesus is the answer, or were we just as scared as everyone else? You know, the Bible says in Romans 5, verse 3, not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance, character, character, hope. And hope doesn't disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Love those verses. Don't you love those verses? Have you ever seen those verses made into a nice little plaque to go on someone's wall? We glory in tribulations. Not usually a good choice, is it, for that? What does it mean? And how I can best explain it is, in life we go through trials and tribulations, challenges, difficulties caused by circumstances. Some circumstances are within our control and some aren't. But nevertheless, they're sort of surface level challenges caused by what's going on around us in our lives. And if we do go through these things, if we go through these things well, we develop perseverance. And perseverance is almost like a deeper level. It's a character trait. It's a strength. It's like building an internal support structure. And as we persevere more and more, then our character, which is even more foundational within us, develops. And if we have to strip away all of these different levels, what do we have left? If everything else in our life disappeared tomorrow, what's left? Only one thing: hope. Our hope in Jesus Christ. Being strong in faith means to keep walking this journey no matter what. And that's hard. But if we want to be a missional church, then we need to be those people who are strong in faith. Point four, so we're getting there. The early church lived lives that identified them as Christians or little Christs. And if we want to be a missional church, we need to be little Christs walking about our streets and neighbourhoods. And the term Christian was probably used as a bit of a form of derision to start with. You know, oh, look at those people there, aren't they little Jesuses? You know, but as time went by, it became an identifying mark of those people who were literally doing that. And you may have heard this before, but imagine if we were living in a real time of persecution and being a Christian was illegal. And just imagine you got arrested for being a Christian. Would there be enough evidence to bring a conviction? That's a challenge, isn't it? And is our church community different to the community outside in the world? It should be recognised by our love for one another, demonstrated by forgiveness and understanding, kindness, patience and generosity. That should be different to what people experience elsewhere. So if we want to be a missional church, we need to be a group, a family of little Christs walking around our streets and neighbourhoods. Number five, they were guided by the Spirit, which led them to practical gifts of generosity. In verse 28, a prophecy comes, there's going to be a famine, and the church respond to that prophetic word with gifts of generosity. And if we want to be a missional church, we need to be open to listen to the Holy Spirit and to respond to what he is saying to us. And as church leaders, we pray, we seek God about our church, and we hope that you do too. And if you ever feel that God's really given you something that is for the church, a word, then please do speak to the leaders. Share what's on your heart. The leaders then have the responsibility to pray about that word and to test it and to feed back to you what we believe God is saying to us as a family. And when the prophetic word came, the church as a whole came together to send resource to the church in Jerusalem where the need was going to be. They could have prayed against the famine, couldn't they? They could have prayed, God help them to get through it and please provide for them. And perhaps take it away so it doesn't impact them. You know, it might be impacting everyone all around them, but not them. God keep them safe. But they don't do any of that. They just stepped up and gave generously. And sometimes, you know, we can over-spiritualize things and, you know, almost pray too much. I don't think that's, you know, that sounds like the wrong thing to say, but you know what I'm saying. Sometimes the answer isn't to pray. The answer is to do something. You know, as we hear something, God, and yet, what can I do? What do we need to do? And yes, we do pray. Of course we do. But sometimes we also need to step up as well. And if we want to be a missional church, we need to be open to listen to the Holy Spirit and to respond to what he's saying to us. And that leads nicely into the sixth point. They worked together in unity. There were teachers, there were prophets, there were encouragers, there were practical helpers. And if we want to be a missional church, we need to work together in unity, everyone using their own unique gifts. There's a whole sermon in this point, but I'm not going to go there today. But how do we find out what gifts God has specifically given us? You know, I want to encourage you, if you haven't found a place to serve in the church, then let's get together and talk and work it out together. Because if we want to be a missional church, it needs all of us. You know, it's not all about what Robin can do or what Robin does or myself. It needs all of us. And we're all different, so we all have different parts to play. And we need to do that together in unity. So in summary, if we want to be a missional church, we must face the reality of the season we're in and do it anyway. We need to accept people who are different to us. We need to be a people who are strong in faith. We need to be little Christs walking around our streets and neighbourhoods. We need to be open to listen to the Holy Spirit and to respond to what he's saying. And we need to work together in unity, everyone using their own unique gifts. And you know, on a practical level, we want to create opportunities to help you to be missional people. And Robin's already said this, but I'm going to repeat it because it's worth repeating. But on the 15th of November, we're holding this guest service. And this year is going to be different because obviously if everyone did invite someone, there isn't going to be room. But we really equally have such an amazing opportunity. You know, if we could use the whole room, we might be able to squash 200, 250 people in. We can't do that, but if we could. But actually through the internet and through being able to share the link, thousands of people could watch, literally, potentially. And they don't even have to live in Redditch. There are other places. You know, but it's up to us to be sharing that out. And I'm going to put more out in the newsletter tomorrow about that. And just really encourage you to pray. Who are the people of peace that are in my world who might be able to actually come to church with me or might be able to watch this service online somehow? And in December, we have Christmas. Yeah, Christmas is still happening. Oh, I know. Oh, my goodness, there's Pat. But we do. We have Christmas coming in December. Who knew? And it will be different. And we're going to release information over the next couple of weeks of what we're planning. But there will be opportunities to be a missional people contained within Christmas. Because there's a lot of people out there who are just hoping to be able to have more than six people around their table. And that's the best they can hope for about Christmas. And we know Christmas is so much more than that. You know, so we want to get that message out there. And I want to just play you a song, not literally, it'll be on the screen. Just, and this song is just an encouragement that there is so much more to do to see the kingdom of God extended. So we're going to watch that and then I'm going to just come back and pray. So thank you guys.
the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. And there is no like our God. No, there is no like you, God.
Things are still to be done here. Yeah, amen. I want us to pray. You know, if you feel that you really would like to almost sort of recommit yourself to the mission of this church, you know, if you can stand, then please will you stand with me. If you can't, just raise your hands. If you're at home watching, you can stand or whatever, you know, and let's. Greater things are still to be done in this city, in this town here. Father God, we thank you that you're not done yet. Your kingdom isn't done yet. God, you are the God of this city, this God of this town, the God of this area, the God of this nation. And you have greater things still to do. And God, you're not in any way thwarted by any kind of virus or anything that's going on, God. Your message continues regardless. In fact, could move at a faster pace and to more and more people because of the situation we're in. So, Father, I pray today that we will be people who will face the season we're in and continue with your mission. That we will be people who accept people who are different to us. We will be people who will remain strong in faith. We will be like little Christ walking around our neighbourhoods. That we will be open to your Holy Spirit. We will do what he says. We will work in unity using the gifts that you have generously given to us. God, we thank you that you're not done. And we look forward to seeing the greater things that you are still to do. In the name of Jesus, amen.